Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The teaching of Jesus, as is true of all biblical teaching, leads us to God. His teaching leads us to the truth of His Word. And in Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus was teaching the people, there were those who heard His words, but who were not really willing to obey those words. There were those who perhaps even professed to know Him, but by their lives, they denied that they knew Him at all. So in a parable, Jesus compares all of us to construction workers, to builders. Builders who are building a house. Builders who are building our lives one day at a time, day after day, year after year. And in this story, there are two builders. And both of them have the blueprint. They have the Word of God. They know the truth that salvation is found in Christ. And both of these builders built their house generally in the same location. They built their lives, their experiences that were similar. Same things happened to them that happened to all of us in life. But the first builder, the wise man as Jesus calls him, he built his house on rock, Petra in Greek. On solid rock, on bedrock. Something that was stable and secure and immovable. He built his life on the truth of the Word of God. He built his life on Christ. But the other builder, the foolish man, as he's called, he built his house on sand. He built his life on his own opinions. And on his own desires, he built his life on his own perspective. Then Jesus says a storm came upon them. It came upon both of them. And the floodwaters came up, the rain descended. The winds blew. It was a storm that was so great that the house that had been built on sand collapsed, while the house that had been built on rock remained. There is a storm that is coming, Jesus said. The storm of the judgment of God. A storm so fierce. A storm so intense that only those who have built their life on Christ will be able to survive that storm. A rather frightening warning for those who don't know Christ, wouldn't you say? And we're told in Matthew chapter 7 that when the crowds of people heard all of these words of Jesus, we're told they were amazed at His teaching. Ekpleso. They were struck in the head. We might say they were floored by what He had to say to them, because we're told they saw that He taught as one having authority. Yet, it does not say that they believed His words. It doesn't say that they acted upon His words and obeyed them. It doesn't say that they turned from their sin and they turned to Christ for salvation. They may have been amazed, but they weren't saved. Like many people today who build their lives on sand, on their own opinions, instead of building their life on Christ. And after close to 3 years of teaching the people, 3 years of miracles, what did the leaders of the nation of Israel want to do? They wanted to kill Jesus. And the people, what did they want? They just wanted what Jesus could give them. They just wanted to satisfy their selfish desires. So we're told in Matthew chapter 16 that Jesus and the 12, his 12 disciples, left the region of Galilee. And they headed north into the region of Bashan, or Bashan in Hebrew. A region of lush, fertile pastures, a region of wild cattle. An area about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. Almost on the edge of Jewish territory. An area that was populated largely by Gentiles, by idol worshippers. So Jesus and his disciples came to a place, to a plateau near the rocky heights of Mount Hermon, where there were shrines and altars that had been built to those idols. So now, it says in Matthew 16, verse 13, now when they came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, near the city of Caesarea, in Bashan, an area that had been built, a city that had been erected to honor the Roman emperor, city that had been built to worship him. Jesus used this time, the time that they were isolated and separated from the crowds of people, he used it to speak to his disciples. He used it to prepare their hearts and their minds for what was about to take place in less than a year. The road that they would travel together would lead them into even greater hostility. It would lead them to the cross. It would lead to the death of Christ. He would be taken away from them. And they needed to know. They needed to understand that despite the way things seemed, things were moving forward according to the plan of God. So as they were walking along the road together, Jesus began asking his disciples, erateo in Greek. He started quizzing them, testing them, saying, who do people, the multitudes of people that we have encountered since we have been together, who do they say that the Son of Man is? After all of this time, think about it. How much of the truth do they really perceive about me? And the disciples perhaps thought about that question for a moment, and then they realized something. There were a wide variety of opinions concerning who Jesus was. But none of those people thought that he was the Messiah. Why? Because they were expecting a liberator. They were expecting someone who would free them from their oppressors and restore the nation of Israel to power and to glory. Their understanding of Jesus was limited by their expectations of what the Messiah would be like and what the Messiah would do, and Jesus did not conform to those expectations. So, the disciples said, verse 14, some of the people say that you're John the Baptist, who's risen from the dead, because by that time John had already been beheaded by Herod Antipas. And that's why you're able to perform so many miracles. Some say that you are the prophet Elijah, since it says in the book of Malachi, Malachi 4:5, that before the coming of the Messiah, before that great and terrible day of the Lord, Elijah will appear. And there are others. Others think that you're Jeremiah, the prophet. And they point to a Jewish tradition that says that before the Messiah is revealed, Jeremiah will come and he will reveal the location of the Ark of the Covenant and the altar of incense that they believe he hid in a cave. before the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 586 BC. Well, then there are still others. And they know that you're worthy of respect. They're sure that you must be one of the prophets of old who has come back to this earth. Well, as complimentary as these opinions of the people might have been, all of their opinions were wrong. They all fell short of the truth. They were all building their lives on sand. Not unlike many people today who have a wide variety of opinions concerning Jesus, but there is only one perspective that really matters. And so Jesus asked his disciples a second question. And he said to them in verse 15, "But you who have been with me for so long, you who are my disciples, you who have left everything to follow me, who do you say that I am?" Well, that's a question that every man and woman must answer for themselves, isn't it? And not to answer that question is to have already answered it. And Simon Peter, perhaps, as the spokesman for the group, articulated that perhaps what they were thinking. And he answered, apokrinomai in Greek. He considered the question. He weighed the evidence. And he made a decision. And he said, "Thou alone art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one who has been promised in the scriptures from ages past. There is no one but thee. And we're confident that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the only source of our salvation, the Son, the very essence of the living God. You are the one who is one with your Father in heaven. In fact, you are God in the flesh. Our Lord, our Master, the Holy One of God." That was their answer. Well, that was Peter's answer. Question is, how do we answer that question? Are we building our life? Are we building our eternity on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Or are we still building our life on sand? We don't follow a man. We don't follow a religion. We follow Christ, the Son of the living God, the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. That is who we follow. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona," Makarios in Greek. "God has filled your heart, He has filled your mind with the joy of the truth, as He fills all of us with that joy who know Him, who know the truth. If we only know what the multitudes know, if we only know what the world knows, if we only know what the philosopher knows or even what the theologian knows, we know nothing. Because if we don't know Christ, the Son of God, as our Lord and Savior, then we are not blessed." So Jesus said to him, "Though you are a man named Simon, and though you are just a son of a man named Jonah, you are blessed by God. Because flesh and blood did not reveal, apocalypto, unveil this knowledge of me to you. You didn't arrive at this conclusion of who I am based on your own wisdom or your own intellect or even your own reasoning or insight. But my Father, who is in heaven, the one to whom I have entrusted myself, he is the one who has made known this information to you. It is by divine revelation that you know this truth in your spirit and in your soul. Lies may find acceptance among lies and among liars, but truth can only find acceptance with truth. And the truth of God in Christ stands alone as truth that has been given to us from above. It has been given to us by God himself. And so Jesus said to Simon, my Father has revealed this great truth to you, so I will also reveal truth. A great truth to you. You are Peter. Petros. You are a pebble. You are a stone. You are a boulder. You're a piece of the rock. And who's the rock? Well, isn't that rock Christ? 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says that that rock is Christ. And it is God himself, we are told in Psalm 62, who says, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. It is God, it is Christ alone who is that rock. And upon this rock, Jesus says in verse 18, Petra, a massive rock. Upon the bedrock of God himself, the same word he used in that parable in Matthew chapter 7. Upon this truth, upon myself, Jesus says, because I am the cornerstone of truth. Truth that was revealed to Peter. Truth that was revealed to his disciples. Truth that has been revealed to us in the Word of God, which is truth. Upon which we build. Truth that is found in me, Jesus says, for I am truth. Upon this, I will build my church. Men may build cities. Men may build organizations. They may even build empires. But only Christ can build his church. His ecclesia, an assembly of believers who have been called out of this world and called into a relationship with him. A people who have been purchased by his blood. The church, the true church, all who believe and who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We rest on the solid rock, the bedrock of faith in Christ. In spite the way things may have looked to the disciples, in spite the way that they look to us sometimes, Jesus says, I will continue to build my church. I will continue to call men and women to myself, to call them out of darkness and into the light of a relationship that will last forever. This is a message of hope. This is a message of comfort, not only to the disciples, but to us. Nothing can separate us from him. Not even death, he says. In verse 18, he says, the gates, the pule, the iron bars of Hades the place of the dead, shall not overpower it. At the school. Death is not strong enough to hold the church captive, to hold those who belong to Christ in chains and in the grave. Those who have faith in Him will prevail. Why? Because Christ has prevailed. He has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. That is the rock upon which we build our lives. So now, even today, the Lord is gathering a people to Himself. He's gathering a people who will glorify Him forever. But how will the people know this good news? Unless someone tells them. How will they know? Unless someone points them to Christ and to His Word. How will they know? Unless someone accurately and faithfully presents the truth to them. In the nation of Israel, those who were to interpret and to teach the truth of the way of God, found in the law of God, were called lawyers, nomikos in Greek, experts in the law. And it was their responsibility to convey the truth of God to the people. But in Luke 11:52, Jesus spoke directly to them. And He said, "You have taken away the keys of knowledge, of the truth of the kingdom of God. You do not enter in yourselves." And those who were entering in, you have hindered. They had the keys of knowledge. They had the keys of truth. They had the Word of God. But they twisted that truth and they distorted the Scriptures so that truth remained locked up. It remained hidden from those who were seeking truth. A warning. That's a warning to us today. A warning to all of those who would distort the truth of the Word of God. So now Jesus tells Peter, and He tells the disciples, and maybe He tells us as well. He says, "Now I will give you the keys of the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, so that the door into that kingdom might be opened to all men." And that's what happened, didn't it? We recall in Acts chapter 2 that it was Peter who first preached a sermon to the Jews, calling on them to come to Christ so that they might enter the kingdom. And wasn't it Peter in Acts chapter 10 who first preached a sermon to a Gentile and who explained to him how he could enter the kingdom? Peter was the first to unlock the door. But he certainly wasn't the last, was he? He was not the only one to unlock the truth concerning Christ to the people. And you know, we use those same keys today, don't we? When we teach the truth of the Word of God, we unlock that door. We unlock that door when we use His Word and we teach the truth. Because His Word has authority, Jesus says in verse 19, the authority of heaven. And so He says, "Whatever you shall bind on earth, deo, whatever is forbidden, whatever is wrong, whatever is sin, according to what? According to the Word of God. Those things shall have already been bound or forbidden." Where? He says, in heaven. The Word of God is settled in heaven forever. And based on the Word of God, we have the authority to speak of these things. And whatsoever you shall loose, luo, in Greek, permit or allow, according to what? According to the word of God. They shall have already been loosed in heaven. We are free from the rules and the regulations and the opinions of man. We act solely on the authority that has been given to us in the word of God. And the time is coming, Jesus said, when you will tell the world of these things. You'll preach the gospel everywhere. You'll proclaim the message of salvation and make disciples of all men. But he said that time has not yet come. So he warned his disciples. Epitomeo, he sternly instructed them that for now they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Why? The people weren't looking for the Christ, were they? What were they looking for? A political leader? Military commander? A social reformer? They weren't looking for a savior. After all that they had heard, all that they had seen, they didn't understand. Their eyes were still blind. They just didn't know that the way to the kingdom only came by way of the cross. That is the rock on which we build our lives. That is the rock upon which we build our eternity. The wonder of the sacrifice of Christ for us, the peace of the rock, our portion, which in which we rejoice in his blessing to us forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.